After completing a sports medicine program at Grand Valley State University, I moved from the Great Lakes to Oregon with Melanie, the woman I had just married at the wise young age of 23. She was 20. Neither of us had ever visited the West Coast before, but the allure of the mountains and remote coastline of the Pacific Northwest seemed an apt reason to break free from the upper Midwest. After the wedding ceremony, we settled in Grand Haven, long my favorite beach town, and it was there on Lake Michigan that I surfed my first waves, in the saltless inland sea. In spite of that, I soon became restless living so close to where I'd grown up, and craved those climbing crags that I saw in magazines. Poring over guides of the Pacific Northwest, I marveled at the impressive mountain peaks, plentiful climbing areas, and diverse recreational activities. I dreamed of moving west towards those mountains, the Pacific Ocean, and the adventures that I had only read about in guidebooks. A few months after the wedding, an old friend moved to Aloha, pronounced Aloha by the locals, Oregon. Wedged between Beaverton and Hillsboro, and lined with chain stores and car dealerships, Aloha was an ill-fitting name for the industrial Portland suburb. During a phone call, I shared my desire to move west, and he offered to rent out a room in the apartment where he was staying. This seemed the perfect opportunity to make the move west that I had been imagining. Melanie and I packed up our possessions and crammed them into our old Isuzu Rodeo, heading south on the US 31. We navigated Chicago's urban sprawl and drove northwest until the long, westward straightaways of Interstate 94 drew us through the frozen plains of North Dakota before we stopped in Bozeman, Montana for a night. I felt a sense of relief as the West seemed to welcome us with its kind residents and stunning vistas. I stared in awe at the landscape of Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, before the power steering froze and the lights dimmed in the depressed village of Ritzville, Washington, as the alternator seized. It was the weekend, so we called every parts store until we found a mechanic who would bring a replacement down and install it the next morning. As we ate at a divey but homey diner, our server asked where we were headed. Portland, I said, excited to be free of the flat and stifling Midwest. Man, I wish I could leave this town, he said, dropping his head. But I can't. I was baffled by that sense of resignation, as memories played of my classmates finding factory jobs and moving in next door to their parents. It was nightfall before Melanie and I drove our sputtering SUV over the Willamette River, crossing the Markham Bridge in northwest Portland. A damp fog hung low and oppressive, obscuring most of the city. The record for the longest stretch of days without sunshine was broken over the 3 weeks that followed. "Welcome to Oregon," the road sign had read. In spite of the drear, I was psyched to be in a place that offered so much outdoor potential. For our first 3 weeks in our new home in Aloha, a southwest suburb of Portland, the sun had yet to show itself. Who named this place Aloha if there's no sunshine, I often thought. Our apartment was just off Canyon Road, and one morning, as I pulled out onto Canyon Road, heading east toward downtown Portland, the sunshine finally pierced the gloom to reveal the stunning, snow-covered outline of Mount Hood, standing like a monument ahead. Despite nearly a month of living in Oregon, I had no idea there was a mountain so near. My heart soared at the thought of snowboarding those dazzling white slopes and climbing to its summit someday. The following week, I stopped at a gear shop and noticed a Smith Rock climbing guidebook on the counter. After flipping through it, I asked the shop owner about it. "Looks like an amazing place to climb. Is that near here? When's the best time to climb there?" Smith is about 3 hours southeast of here. "It's an incredible area. You can climb there year-round as long as it's not snowing," he answered. My curiosity was piqued, and I bought the book on the spot. I did not know how much that special climbing area would mean to me in the years to come. After I showed the book to Melanie, we agreed that a visit was in order and drove the 3 hours over the Cascade Range, arriving at Smith Rock late one evening. It was completely black from the dense cloud cover. As we pitched the tent, I could feel a vast presence nearby, but had no visuals to fill in for my imagination. I slept restlessly, too excited by the prospect of a day exploring a true climbing area, a novelty in the Great Lakes where I had grown up. The high desert air was filled with the unfamiliar smell of sage, and another that was disconcertingly familiar. The air reeked with an odor that I later learned was juniper berries, but at the time only reminded me of the times when my mom's rescue kitty emptied his bladder on my bed, and then the deepest corners of my closet.